Good morning, and welcome to the third quarter of 2021 conference call for Grupo Notre Dame Intermedica. Today we have with us Irlau Machado, CEO, Marcelo Moreira, CFO, and Glauco Desiderio, Investor Relations Director. Please note that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the presentation. After the company's presentation, we'll begin the questions and answer session for investors and analysts when further instructions will be given. If you need assistance during the call, please dial star zero to reach the operator. This audio is being simultaneously webcast at ir.gndi.com.br. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that any forward-looking statements that may be made during the conference call related to the company's business outlooks, operational and financial projections, and targets are based on beliefs and assumptions of our management, as well as information currently available. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of a future performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that the general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operational factors could affect the future performance of the company and could lead to results that differ materially from those mentioned in such forward-looking statements. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Irlau, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Irlau, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us during this conference. I'd like to thank the Notre Dame Intermedica team, all of our nearly 3,000 employees, and the 30,000 accredited professionals in our operations, as well as our investors who are following up on us for all of these years in this growth path. I'd like to put into context the dramatic period that we, as human beings and as citizens of a global community, have gone through with the pandemic, the biggest pandemic in many centuries. And it truly had a drastic effect on people, lives, families, on economies, and so on. But I'd also like to say that right now we feel very optimistic about how it will move forward. I'm in good spirits now because I believe we really are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. We had some results this quarter, and they were still short of what we could do, but I think we're moving in the right direction, posting robust growth in revenues. We still have a high level of claims because of the pandemic itself, and this will be highlighted throughout our presentation. Our adjusted EBITDA was 132 million BRL, 4.1% margins. So we can see that it's 12.7 percentage points unfavorable versus last year, but we have to remember that for the third quarter of 2020, we had probably the two best quarters in the private healthcare industry in Brazil. The second and third quarters of 2020. And this, of course, can be explained by reduction in elective procedures and the non-inclusion of increased costs in healthcare, especially because of muscle blockers, gloves, and so on. So that was a quarter that was very favorable at the time in 2020. And now we're seeing a negative comparison as things evolve. So we are also taking a hit from the long tail of the COVID pandemic. It affected hospital costs, third parties, and it affected our own network, as we'll explain in the next highlights. So it wasn't a great performance, but it did evolve significantly. It was very positive, and we're very optimistic about it. Considering our operational highlights, what I'd like to say is this. From July of 2021, we concluded the acquisition of Serpran in Minas Gerais, Hospital Maringá in Paraná, and Hospital Santa Marta. And we now have Centro Clínico Gaúcho. And this is first-hand news for you. We just recently got authorization from the monetary authorities to close this operation, and it will provide 175,000 additional beneficiaries. And we can expand to 220 beds in Rio Grande do Sul, 20 clinics, and 13 labs. And this is another important step in consolidating the south of Brazil. Some other operational highlights. The integration process for Hospital Maringá is moving fast, and we're going to support GNDI beneficiaries' expansion in the region. We implemented the Londrina-Maringá hub in the northwest of the state of Paraná, which now has three well-regarded hospitals, optimizing costs and expenses, as well as allowing to launch a unique integrated commercial proposition in these markets called Connect Londrina, which was developed exclusively for the region. The constant investments in our owned network in the south increased hospital admission verticalization from 66% to 82% in Curitiba. Certified quality. We currently have 15 hospitals, 11 clinical centers, and the Gelfond Imaging Center certified by ONA. We also have one hospital and one preventive care center with Qmentum quality certification. This is an international certification company that was started in Canada, and one hospital with Joint Commission international accreditation. GNDI Minas, we had the acquisition of Serpram in August. It consolidated our presence in the state of Minas Gerais, and we started to centralize our structure with a head office in the capital city of Belo Horizonte and regional offices across the state. In the third quarter, we concluded the implementation of our governance and controls in the Minas Gerais branch, which, combined with several verticalization initiatives, contributed to a 17% reduction in patient day hospital admissions. In August 2021, we transferred members from Santa Monica to GNDI from Minas, which is the former Medisanitas, and the Climep portfolio should be next. Both of these transfers will allow us to streamline accounting, financial, tax, and human resources processes. We also launched Notre Medical, which is a relationship, acknowledgement, and benefit platform to attract and retain clinical staff in the region. considering our medical research, and this is very close to my heart. We have the GNDI Research Institute, where we develop 17 studies in different medical specialties, like oncology, cardiology, infectology, obstetrics, and others. And we published 5 papers in medical conferences to strengthen to the community the quality of our healthcare. Some of our operational highlights, we started going into Rio de Janeiro with a stronger hold. So we got commercial accreditation at the Welfare and Assistance for the municipality of Rio de Janeiro, or PREVIRIO, with one of the operators that can work with this group in Rio. We also had an agreement with a class entity in the state that has 200,000 beneficiaries, and we're still strengthening our own network in the state, investing in expanding our medical healthcare units. We now have 4 hospitals, 10 clinical centers, 10 outpatient ERs, and 2 new emergency rooms under construction, one of which is in downtown Rio across the street from the city hall. And we have one in the city of Nova Iguaçu. This is a great market for GNDI at any healthcare operation. It's a population of 17 million. It has 10% of the national GDP, 11.1% of private healthcare beneficiaries in Brazil are there. And this is another important topic for me personally and for the company as a whole, ESG. From the environmental point of view, I'd like to go beyond what is on the slide, and I'd just like to remind you of a few things that we have presented in the past. The company is engaged with mitigating climate change and contributing to the Paris Agreement to reduce average global temperatures by 2 degrees Celsius and reducing carbon emissions. For the first time, we offset 100% of our emissions, so we are a carbon neutral company now. In 2021, we received a gold seal recognition given to companies that disclose a full inventory verified by an accredited third party from the Brazilian Greenhouse Gas Protocol Program. We received it due to our performance in our GHG inventory program in 2020. In terms of energy efficiency, we started a joint venture that will generate 8,000 megawatts per year of solar power, and we'll provide it to 60 clinical centers. Our waste management has also been moving forward. We have a composting project that continues to advance. Over 70,000 high quality residue has been donated. We have many hospitals taking part, and this is going up with every quarter. We have a partnership with the Cidade Sem Fome NGO, and we've donated a lot of fertilizer from this compost, and it maintains a community garden project that transforms people's lives through gardens by generating an income and food for families. From the social point of view, considering the challenges that our frontline professionals had because of COVID-19, we have a group of specialists that is providing psychological support, physical therapy. We've transformed over 1 ton of used uniforms into blankets for the Ninho Social Institute and the Salvation Army. Our diversity and inclusion program has really been amazing, and it aims to deal with diversity, and this includes gender, LGBT, QIA+, people with disabilities, ethnicity, and orientation campaigns. And we want to make our organization truly inclusive. From the governance standpoint, our board has, for the first quarter, announced Ana Paula Gogos as a new independent board member. which adds to our gender diversity at the top levels of the company. We have a fiscal board, which was instituted for the second consecutive year. Most members were nominated by minority shareholders. And in May, we published our second sustainability report based on the Global Reporting Initiative standards, and it has been verified by a third-party consultant. The Data Protection Act, we've implemented many initiatives to comply to the law, and we're currently acquiring a tool to manage privacy to automate controls according to the company's privacy program. And likewise, we recently implemented a new corporate risk management software. Here are some of our operational highlights. I'd like to underscore the structural changes that we had in the organization. The first of which was the supporting quality office. So we have some, one in São Paulo and one in upstate São Paulo, and there was a second movement in Rio de Janeiro with the new acquisitions we had in the south of Brazil. So we're consolidating all of our initiatives in an executive quality director under Marcelo Severino da Silva, who has, over the last 5 years, been performing an important job in quality management within the company and also getting accreditation methodologies, improving patient safety, and so on. So this is becoming an executive director's office, reporting directly to me. We also have been making a strong movement, as you saw. We had 84% growth in our hospital service volume with over 250 million this quarter. So we imagine that it can reach over 1 billion BRL in 2022. So this is a very important side business that we intend to focus on. And for that, we have been allocating Luiz Sérgio Pires Santana, the vice president of as vice president of hospital services. He is a former operations VP of Rio de Janeiro, Minas Gerais, in the south branches. He has a long history in heading hospital groups in all of Brazil. So we would like to welcome Luiz Sérgio Pires Santana as our vice president in this new area. We have an operations VP. This position was previously under Sérgio and now is under Masanori Shibata Jr., who is taking over the integration of acquisitions in the south of Brazil and in Rio de Janeiro. He had already been working with these hospitals, so Dr. Masanori has a long history. He's very experienced and very competent to run these new areas. And also, the integration director is a role that is being merged with the M&A director. And this is all under Pedro, as you know, who has masterfully led the latest acquisitions in the last 7 years. As we can see, there has been consistent revenue growth, which has been supported by our members' expansion and hospital services, as you can see in the presentation. So we have had sustainable growth over the last years, a reduction in the average ticket. It has been lower in the third quarter versus the third quarter of 2020, but this is due to a couple of things. First, our strategy, which is to provide services for verticalized health plans, and also the lower average ticket in the operations we acquired. In the case of dental plans, we had a cross-sell strategy which was very successful. Hospital services, there was a big increase, part of it due to the new acquisitions we had, and part of it due to the fact that we have more hospital beds available for services since COVID is becoming less important in our operations when it comes to occupied beds. We have consistent and sustainable growth. We went from 4.2 billion to 4.340. And we also have to underscore the authorization we got from the monetary authorities to integrate the Centro Gaúcho. So this will take us to 4.5. We will be truly the number one in the country. Beneficiaries, we went from 3.7 million in December to 4.3 in September. And as CCG is approved, it will go up to 4.5. Our cash MLR has been tough for us this quarter, and this was expected. This is the information that we had passed on to you because we had important reductions in COVID cases, and as you can see, this is in all newspapers, but there has been a drastic reduction in the number of COVID patients. We have been seeing that this has been seen in the third quarter, but there is a long tail of hospital bills as there is an operational cycle for accounting, which is normal in our industry. Our cash MLR was 2.6 percentage points favorable versus the second quarter of 2021, but still under the third quarter of 2020. We had increased costs in our own network because of materials and medications, and I just want to give you an example. Before the pandemic, a single rubber glove cost 7 centavos, and during the pandemic, it went up to 80 centavos. Right now, it's at around 30, and it's dropping drastically. So we will balance it out, but we're still carrying a part of these costs. Also, during the quarter, we saw a demobilization of our additional structure. So we did our job. We added 1,000 available beds because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, since we have less than 5% of what we had during the peak of the pandemic, and here I'm talking about COVID hospitalizations, we had to demobilize the volume, and this has a cost. We received medical bills from the second quarter of 2021 from our contracted network, and a big part of it had been expected. As I said, there is a long tail, but it was more significant because of the size of the, well, the number of or the length of hospital stay per patient. What I mean is, in an average process, we have around 30 to 60 days in our operational cycle to formalize a medical bill and get it paid. During the pandemic, because of the average length of stay, this was extended to 90 days. So we still have a long tail that will take place during the fourth quarter because of hospitalizations from previous quarters. And this is due to how long treatments were. We also have a high volume of consultations and exams from the first part of the third quarter. At the end of the third quarter, we had already reduced drastically the number of consultations and exams. And this is what we're seeing. We're going back to normal, and this is making us very optimistic. We also had seven new M&As, which are currently being integrated, and they are negatively impacting our MLR. But as I said, they're being integrated. It's very dynamic, and this will also help us cut costs through verticalization. So GNDI managed to maintain a record high level of hospital admissions, 75%, verticalization and consultation, 76% in our owned network. Our total HMO cost verticalization during the third quarter is in line with the first half of the year, but it's still lower than usual, and this is due to substantially higher tickets from contracted network hospitals and a higher frequency of exams. However, it's also moving in the right direction. It's normalizing. The dental cash loss ratio increased, but it's still lower than our historical averages as people go back to normal life and to their regular treatments. It's important to talk about cash MLR. Hospitalizations due to COVID dropped significantly throughout the third quarter, and this allowed us to have much better GNDI performance indicators, which is clearly indicating that we're going back to normal. However, once again, our medical bills remained high in the third quarter due to the MLR impact. So we had demobilization, as I said, and the use of COVID-19 testing, a high frequency of imaging exams. But there was a drastic reduction due to lower COVID cases and lower hospitalization rates. We expect that patients with COVID-19 will have a negative impact on our cash MLR. It will be around 247 million BRL, both in our own network and the contracted network during the third quarter. So now I'd like to invite Marcelo to talk a bit about our G&A, our cash G&A, its breakdown, and other financial aspects. Thank you, Irlau. Good morning, everyone. So slide 13, as you can see, shows our cash G&A, which is still low as our business grows. Historically, when you look at 2018, 2019, we were at 8.8% to 9% throughout the year. Right now, we are at 7.7 and 8.1 this quarter. If we compare the first quarter, excuse me, the third quarter this year and last year, we can see that there was a reduction of 0.8 percentage points. And this dilution is taking place across all lines: personnel, occupation, in contingencies, allowance for doubtful accounts. This is basically neutral right now. And the only increase we had was in third-party services, but this was connected to our marketing campaign, which involved not only São Paulo, but all of our branches. So this was very important as we were launching new products to compete in the market. Considering commercial expenses, we were 0.3 percentage points unfavorable compared to the third quarter of 2020, but when we look at how we performed in the first 6 months, this is absolutely in line with what we expected. So there's an effort here to dilute our G&A, and it will continue as we continue to grow and as we integrate all the companies we acquire. Slide 14 shows our EBITDA. The main message here is that we're really seeing that MLR is improving, but we were impacted by some provisions from SUS and IBNR. So it's important to say that, yes, there has been a reduction in SG&A. If we look at all of our expenses, we went from 14% to 13.7%. So the biggest driver impacting our EBITDA is still our cost. As you know, we've talked more about our EBITDA than our adjusted EBITDA. If you look at the table, you can see that the adjustment levels that we have been using are basically in a single line, stock options, which are much lower than they have been in the past. For this quarter, it was 5.7. So we can see that there's a convergence between our EBITDA and our adjusted EBITDA as we go back to normal. So we're starting to see an improvement. I think that's the main message for this slide. We're starting to see cash MLR improving. During this quarter, we still had some impacts from the pandemic. They are significant. Both of them combined will be over 60 million versus the third quarter of 2020. So we don't expect it to impact us in the next quarters. ANS is catching up and it should go back to normal levels. We have been seeing it, and this is what we expect for the next quarters. There are always some outlier quarters, and a part of it during this quarter was because of some of our acquisitions. So besides breaking down these results, I also think it's important to underscore that we have continued our value creation strategy with verticalization. We had robust growth, even in comparison to other players. We had some of the highest growth levels that have been seen here, and we continue with our strategy of growing organically and inorganically. Dental continues to be very active, and that will bring us many benefits. Although there was an impact to our cash MLR, we have managed to grow and to perfect our operations. And again, I'd like to underscore what has been said about recent M&As, which are now being integrated. In the last 9 months, we have brought into the company seven M&As. They're currently going through the integration process, but if we look a bit further to the past, in December 2019, at the time, we had 3 million members. So we went from 3 to 4.5 million if we could consider these M&As. So it's a 50% growth, 1.5 million new lives under us. And they are in new geographies for us. So as you know, we recently concluded five M&As in Minas Gerais and now eight M&As in the south of Brazil. So all of this goes to say that our integration process is doing very well. We're extracting synergies across all branches, and we see that there's still a lot of value to capture with it. Slide 15 shows our net income. It has been impacted by MLR dynamics during the quarter. So, although we had a positive EBITDA, we're breaking even. So, for the first 9 months, we're at 2.2 million in CapEx, and considering our cash use, we invested, as I said, 2.2 billion, much of it into M&As, 1.9 billion, and the most important thing here is that 1.1 was invested, and the remainder was acquiring verticalized hospitals and plans. And at the end, we had 287 million, which will continuously be invested in our owned network, so that we can improve our patients experience when they are in contact with our network. The last slide, slide 16, shows our capital structure, which is monitored and controlled in its leverage. And for the third quarter in a row, we did not see any major changes. Those of you watching know that last year in 2020, we extended most of our main debt. And the last movement was just concluded in October, as we captured 1.2 billion with debentures, which were posted with a CDI of plus 1.45% a year with a payment of 6 years. So that has allowed us to deal with the volatility we see in the market. So I think those are our main messages. And now I'd like to open for questions from the floor. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the questions and answers session. If you'd like to ask a question, please dial star one. If you'd like to remove your question from the queue, please dial star two. The first question will be asked by Vinicius Figueiredo from Itaú Bank. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. I'd like to talk a bit about your average ticket. When you remove the effects from the acquisitions, it grew less than last year in the third quarter. Of course, this is related to your product mix, but have you seen a challenging scenario in the future? Is that resulting in tougher negotiations with your clients? Also, another point, the PME segment had a good share of the sales there during this quarter, which increased commissioning. But if you look at each segment, has commissioning been stable over time, or are competitive dynamics changing? Thank you. Marcelo, sorry, let me take a stab at it. So first, yes, we do see that pricing is changing, and this is natural. But what we have been seeing is that, well, we've tried to verticalize in product mixes. That's very important for us. So this will help us significantly in reducing MLR ratios for the end client, especially in this moment since we're facing a crisis in Brazil. PME is definitely a great market. We now have over 1 million clients from SMEs. This is a very promising segment. It allows people to join health plans in Brazil, and we're definitely a winner in selling to SMEs in Brazil. Their MLR is usually lower, and it's a growing industry. But of course, it has a commercial cost. It is higher than large-scale corporate clients. With large corporate clients, we have a percentage of commission and that, but that's at the market level. Great, that was very clear. Thank you, Irlau. The next question will be asked by Giuseppe Giordano from JP Morgan. Hi, everyone. I have a couple of questions. First was a point that you mentioned in other calls, which was the senior plan launched in São Paulo. So I'd just like to hear a bit more about this plan and all of the noise that has been generated by the ongoing government investigations. And are there going to be any regulatory changes, or is this only noise? Also, delving into your results and trying to break it down as MLR is normalizing, especially in the next quarters, What do you expect from medical materials? Is inflation going to be a big factor? Are there non-recurring effects there? I'd also like to know what is the effect of the acquisitions in your MLR? And what do you expect for your MLR levels for the next quarters? Thank you. Thank you, Joseph. So first, the 50 plus plan is a plan that, as I can remind you, it was poorly timed when it was launched. It was about 2 months before the pandemic had its outbreak. So, as everyone knows, the main risk groups or the main risk group at the time was older beneficiaries. So we slowed down on that front. We basically had a pilot in two cities. And now, after a long effort to establish underwriting rules, risk rules, now that we understood the population, and because, well, most of the population today is protected because of the vaccination campaign in Brazil. So now we're accelerating it again to launch this product in São Paulo and in other locations. We have a good outlook on the product, and no, I just like to make it clear that this is not due to the competition. This is not influenced by, the government investigations. That's not our goal. This was a plan that we already had. It was established years ago, and we're just going back to it. And I think we have a great opportunity of having quality services for this population. Your second question, Joseph, was about any implications for costs of materials and medications. Right. So during the peak of the pandemic, it was very different from the beginning of the pandemic, which was about 2 years ago. And this also coincided with regulatory issues reducing elective procedures in 2020. So at the time, we didn't see any exceptional price changes to inputs and medications yet. It took place much later, after the fourth quarter of 2020. And the curve was absurd during the three quarters of 2021. It now has started going down significantly, and we really believe that we will go back to normal levels since it's a matter of offer and supply and demand, and the demand has been much lower. I can tell you that some costs increased by 500 or 600%, some neuroblockers, for example. But now it has gone back to a pre-pandemic level nearly. So it will continue that way, I believe, because production has accelerated as demands went down drastically, as I said, to under 5% of what it was during the peak of the pandemic. The third question I'll leave to Marcelo. He's going to talk about MLAs, excuse me, M&As and their participation in MLR. Great. So as I said, Joseph, when we look back at December 2019, at the time we had 3.3 million in members in healthcare, and now we're at 4.5. So it represents about a third of the lives that have been recently added to our portfolio. Integration efforts never stopped. From the moment of the acquisition, although everything that we've done in the last 8 months were in the context of a pandemic. So, of course, integration never stopped, but it had different challenges. So, we were focusing on back office, accounting integration, financial, human resources, and some others, while the core of the operation could not be transformed, not as intensely as we wanted to, at least. Usually, when we buy a neighboring operation, it's much easier. That's why I have to say that we need to see this as a major effort still to be done, but the more recent the acquisition is, the more work we have. So, considering MLR, except for Clinipam, all of the main acquisitions we made were running far above what we've had. So, we've been making efforts to bring it down, and we're going to start seeing the results from the fourth quarter. Connecting your question to some of the questions we got in the chat, in November, we expect that all of our main indicators will behave normally. I'm talking here about hospitalization rates, surgeries. Everything seems absolutely normal, and the verticalization curve has also gone back to previous levels. The only component that still is there is inputs. So that's what we continue to see, a higher frequency, and incidence of COVID exams is also going down. And I know that you can see this in your personal lives. Of course, it will take some time to get to full normality, but what we've been seeing is that COVID right now seems to be very low. Just to give you some data. Someone asked about data from this week, so we had 7 patients in the entire state of Minas Gerais and less than that in the south. So I just want to give you some figures to show where we are right now. And Marcelo, I'd just like to say that although we have high rates, they've dropped significantly because, as you know, contamination is much lower now. And of course, you will need fewer exams for COVID. So in November, it will be much closer to normal levels. Is that right? Yes, that's right. Much closer. Great. Thank you, Irlau. The next question will be asked by Leandro Bastos from Citibank. Good morning, Marcelo. I have a couple of questions here. First, about your competition, if you can share a bit about what you expect in pricing, are any geographies standing out? That's my first question. And secondly, if you could tell me about Fisco Gaúcho, what strategies you're expecting there, and what you expect from that new geography. Thank you. Well, first, competition throughout maybe the second quarter and a little bit of the third quarter saw more aggressive competitors in terms of pricing. So they were using their good results from the second quarter of 2020, which was an outlier because of everything we know, right? Because of a reduction in elective procedures before medication and inputs had higher prices. So they were using these results as a part of their pricing process. So basically selling the future for the present. We didn't do that because we know we have long-term responsibilities. So there was some higher competition, but it went down significantly now at the end of the second quarter. Excuse me, at the end of the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth. So we're seeing players becoming more rational now. Considering the clinical center in the south, we know that we're going, that, for example, in Porto Alegre, we're going to have about 13.5% of market share. It's a huge responsibility, but this is a part of our strategy to consolidate it in the south. We understand the region. We've had a branch there for some time. We understand that the movement now is all about bringing Masanori as a VP who will also be in charge of the Centro Clínico Gaúcho process, which is very important because he was in charge of the integration of new operations. So this is how we're going to format our integration process, having someone managing Centro Clínico Gaúcho from the beginning, using the GNDI concept. So we're very happy and we know about our responsibilities there. It's a first step in Rio Grande do Sul, which is a very strategic state in Brazil, but it's a very important step to take because we're already second place there in market share. So we're very excited about the connections we can have with Santa Catarina and Paraná. Our next question will be asked by Vinicius Ribeiro from UBS. Good morning, everyone. If we can go back to your MLR, you mentioned some variables for the next quarters. You mentioned, for example, expenses from third-party providers, and there's a lag of up to 90 days. So, what is your utilization rate for the third quarter, and what will you expect for the next months? Is it going to be pressure than the next quarters because of these effects, or has it been diluted? I'd also like to ask about M&As. There's a higher capital cost on one side, but operators that are less sophisticated might be harmed by these variables. So how does that balance out? Thank you. Look, considering the operational cycle, what we can say is that the long tail was mostly considered in the second quarter, and not a lot will appear in the fourth quarter. But this is much lighter than we had seen. But it is a longer tail. It's normal for it to happen. We were expecting it. What we can see is that indicators are reaching the pre-pandemic levels, and we are really excited about that because we believe we'll come out of the pandemic better than we went in. We had over 70 verticalization initiatives to cut costs and to bring into the company what was in our accredited network. And that's going to have a strong impact in reducing costs. Diagnosis, for example, just as a reminder, when we began our new brand for labs, before it was nearly 100% in an accredited network. We had maybe 4 million exams done in-house through the acquisitions from operators that had labs. Now we're doing around 24 million exams in-house. So, excuse me, 12 million, 12 million with the capacity to have twice as many. We're very comfortable with these figures. We will bring it in and it will reduce our accredited network costs. So for the fourth quarter, we will have very little of that long tail in comparison to the third, but we will still see some, but it will be much closer to normality, let's say. Thank you. And what about M&As? Oh, sorry. Yes, you had asked about M&As. So, considering M&As, we still have a very robust team working on it. We have many targets, as you know. How many years have you heard that? We always have targets and we look at M&As as potential investments. Of course, we'll be very cautious considering the capital costs that we are seeing, but we'll always look at opportunities that have the same expected returns that we saw in the past. We're not lowering the bar here in the returns we expect from any of our investments. We need to be more selective, but we are definitely seeing important needs. The next question will be asked by Gustavo Tsel from Bank of America. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. We have two quick ones here. First, about the tickets from your recent acquisitions. I'd just like to understand the medium to long term. Is there any specificity in these areas that will not allow you to reach the same GMV levels? Or do you believe that it will get closer to what you expect? And finally, if you could give us some more specific information on corporate contracts that were canceled. You mentioned that the third quarter was very strong in competition, and you had around 100,000 canceled in corporate contracts, but I'd just like to know if there was anything specific in the third quarter, and if you can tell us how that's going for the fourth quarter, if it's closer to the 10 and 20 range that we saw in the past. Thank you. Well, we have 2.2 million clinical exams per month, so around 25 million a year versus the 4 million that we had before the Nutri Labs brand was launched. We have the capacity today to go up to 60 million, and we really expect to expand it to over 85 million next year. So, and the Nutri Labs exam have lower values than we pay in the accredited network. So verticalization is very important to reduce our MLR. Secondly, to answer your question, considering the new areas where we work, pricing is also connected to the cost of that area. Costs in São Paulo, for example, are much higher than a small town or even from Santa Catarina. And that includes, you know, your physical infrastructure, nursing, reception, and so on. So all of that needs to be put on the scale when you talk about your ticket. What we need to have is a good claims MLR, and that is our goal. Our claims MLR has a good correlation between the different geographies, which means that we have good pricing, good risk management, and we're managing our resources and expenses very well. And what was your last question? About the cancellation of corporate plans. Right. So when we look at this bar graph, when you talk about, how much you grew organically and how much you grew inorganically, from organic growth, we deduct cancellations. But that can be a fallacy because whenever you get a new operation, there's what we call a portfolio cleanup. So we go in, we see how many clients we have, and how many of them can remain in the same contract, and some can remain in the same portfolio. There could be a financial or economic disbalance, so we do invite them to switch to a different product, and we introduce a new product to them. Or, maybe we're not the best company to work with them in the future. That does happen. It's a normal process. And in every acquisition, this is calculated in the future results. We did have some important cancellations because of what I just mentioned. There was a change, for example, when we talk about corporate contracts and SMEs, something natural happened. SMEs, often appear and disappear after a couple of years. It's not that they're going to be serviced by others, but in the case of major corporations, we also see that. If we don't balance contracts, we're not going to simply, because we have higher volumes, maintain a company that is bringing down results for the entire group. So that's something we normally do. What we see in the fourth quarter is that it will be less significant than during this quarter. Great, thank you. The next question will be asked by Mauricio from Credit Suisse. Hi, everyone. This is, well, thank you for giving me this opportunity, but I have a couple of questions, continuing from previous ones. As you mentioned, there have been commercial pressures. And what are your perspectives of going back to the cancellation levels you had before? Sorry, we can't understand you. Can you speak up? Yes, of course. Can you hear me now? Yes, it's better now. Okay, I'll try to speak up. So, I'd just like to ask about your future commercial expectations. What do you expect in terms of future results? And when you look at your tickets versus claims, do you also believe that your future organic growth will bring an opportunity to improve it? Improve that ratio and so that you can get better margins. And I also have a question about verticalization. As we can see, your verticalization is going up, especially in hospital services. But if you can tell us where this is needed the most and what kind of timing you need to close that gap. Thank you. Well, some of the most important places to reduce the gap would be Minas Gerais, because of how big the state is, the size of the population, the acquisition we had there that had a spread of lives in a greater region, and where we had a smaller owned network. This is being resolved. We've had important advances, for example, in the greater Belo Horizonte area, and with our acquisitions in the rest of the state, this is already changing. In Rio de Janeiro, which is another very important place, 3 years ago, we had about 6 to 7% verticalization rates, up to 50%. And we're still building that network with four hospitals in Rio now, a number of clinical centers, autonomous hospitals. And Notre Dame Intermedica had only four hospitals a number of years ago. So this is still a major opportunity to verticalize in Rio de Janeiro. Another place where we have a lot of possibilities is the South as a whole. We have a great share of Curitiba, but we are still working in Santa Catarina. And now, with the acquisition of Centro Clínico Gaúcho in Rio Grande do Sul, in the city of Porto Alegre, we still have an opportunity of changing that verticalization significantly. So it will all take us in the direction of verticalization. We have a high level, but we still have many opportunities to grow. To give you an idea, in Curitiba only, with the acquisition of a maternity ward, we reached 75% verticalization rates there. So that's very important. But in some places, it's less than 40%. Considering margins, as you said, we depend on the macroeconomic factors, but we're comfortable with pre-pandemic levels. I think that's what we're seeking. But there have been some benefits. As was said before, during the pandemic, the claims MLR, if we hadn't reviewed, our protocols, if we hadn't verticalized our services, if we didn't work with our own diagnosis and so on, these figures would be much worse. But now, as we go back to normal, we expect it to get better. Now, will this be organic growth or not? Well, that's what we need to see. We need to look at the market and see how the economy goes. Thank you, Irlau. This concludes our questions and answer session. Mr. Irlau will give the company's closing remarks. Go ahead, Mr. Irlau.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for listening. Once again, I think we need to be very happy about the end, or at least from our understanding, the beginning of the end of the pandemic. All indicators are recovering. We're going back to normal. We have advanced in our vaccination program. The number of new COVID cases have gone down. COVID hospitalizations have gone down. They've become less complex. So we're very optimistic about the fourth quarter, and we're extremely optimistic for 2022. I hope that everyone feels safe and is healthy. So thank you all, and have a good afternoon. That concludes Notre Dame's conference call. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, and thank you for using Chorus Call.